It's time to get cracking. We've done a bit of our blurb about who we are and, you know, the insights of where we're at and some of the things that we're going to be facing over the next few months. And the big part of what we wanted to do in this podcast is really think about some of the subjects that people will be thinking about right now at the start of 2019, the start of another exciting year. And perhaps some of our experiences or what we've picked up from our many, 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 many groups, 23 in Anna's case.
That's what I was a member of. However, I was a Slimming World manager. So I've probably seen more groups than you care to even think about.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. More than the boys I've dated, perhaps.
Possibly. You never know.
So welcome to another episode of Slimming World Food for Thought podcast.
Yes. And don't forget to subscribe because we are there for you to have whenever you want us, when you're going on your run, when you're in the car, when you're a bit bored. So subscribe on the normal ways. Also, drop us an email. What's our email, Claire? Can you remember?
slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. As we said, we're not official, but we just thought that was the easiest way for you to remember.
Yes. Also our Instagram. Get following on there. We are at Slimming World Podcast. Also hashtag us. I can never say that in anything you're doing. And let us know what you'd like to hear about.
Today's subject is all about the booze or the lack of it. Many of you will be perhaps starting this time of the year thinking about things like dry January. Maybe you're thinking you're starting your weight loss and it's been a heavy one over Christmas. It's been a heavy one over New Year. And you're thinking maybe quitting the booze might be an easy win of how we get a little bit more weight loss. Mm. I don't drink anymore.
Neither do I.
So maybe, but we have.
Who are we?
But we have done drinking and also done weight loss. So yeah. We come at this from quite unique standpoints, I think. We're quite rare that we don't drink.
Yeah, really
in
rare.
Our age group.
And I think I find like people are quite shocked that I don't drink anymore.
I adore telling people, actually, now as I'm dating, being upfront with people before I go on the date, actually saying,
what's the reaction?
Look, mixed. Really mixed. Yeah. I think automatically when you say that you are quitting the booze, even if you're doing it for a month, people will probably say, what's the issue? Have you got a problem? Are you an alcoholic? And it's interesting that if you compare it to say something like, I don't know, if you were quitting heroin, nobody would say, what are you doing that for?
They'd
you
champion
know, go on,
it, wouldn't they?
Just have one at weekends or something. Yeah. You would never say that to heroin.
No.
But it doesn't mean because you want to step away from the booze that you're feeling that you've got a problem. That's people's, sometimes their first thought, and you just want to hit pause. But thinking about the why is interesting.
So what was your why?
I think I was realizing that it was just not helping me get to where I wanted to get to. Mm. This thing that I, when I started out on my most recent weight loss journey, was I was sick of feeling tired. I was sick of having no energy, and my health was low. My moods were low, and I started to change the food. And then by March, I had a couple of emotional crashes. And then I kind of thought, well, the food's right, so what else isn't working? And for me, it was kind of thinking, maybe the booze is, maybe that's something else that needs to go. And fast forwards almost a year, and I have had drinks over summer whilst I've been on holiday, that I didn't understand what impact booze actually has in so many ways. It's a depressant, the calories behind it. The big thing was I thought, I've got a choice here. When it comes to your 15 sins, what do you want to spend them on? Do I really want to be spending them on a pint of cider, which is what, 11, 12 sins? Yeah. Or do I actually want two Freddos? Or
when you weigh anything up in Freddos,
chocolate balls. So for me, it was chocolate or booze, and it felt very easy to choose chocolate.
Yeah. I think a lot of people don't recognize the impact that alcohol has on your appetite as well. And the biggest thing I encountered stopping drinking, and I stopped drinking for health reasons, because of the illness I've got, alcohol is a trigger and can trigger my illness to be worse. So it was kind of like when you've got a bowel illness and you're spending a lot of time in the toilet, you don't want to do something that's going to make that time even greater. So for me, getting rid of the booze was a big point from health, but also I was just saying to Claire, I'm not a great person when I've had a drink, you know. I don't behave in the most appropriate way. And Claire says that's normal, but you know, getting naked and showing your boobs and accusing your husband of having an affair isn't something you should be doing as you're approaching 40.
We do that. We've all got those stories. I went on a date and then woke up about an hour later asleep on the disabled toilet floor, and they were locking up the building. Actually, it was a non-date, you know, where you're like kind of you're sussing each other out. And I went to his wedding a few years ago, actually.
Oh,
and I told him what really happened. Yeah.
Love it.
But, you know, you find yourself in this situation. It's funny now, but actually that was really stupid and really dangerous. You know, your resolve. You're not who you want to be.
Yeah, and your resolve for everything goes down. And in terms of weight loss, what actually happens, it's so interesting. It's called our tipping point. And when we have women, about 2.5 glasses of wine, men the equivalent to about 2 pints in alcohol content, we get that kind of inhibition goes, I don't care. Oh, let's have a bit more wine. Let's have a bit more beer. And then you want to eat, don't you?
That's 100%.
You never want to snack on carrot sticks or have a bit of Slimming World hummus and a jacket potato when you've had a drink. You want high fat, high salt or high sugar. And what can happen to people in about a 24, 48 hour period is they can overconsume by about 7,000 calories. Now, when you think about that in terms of weight loss and weight gain, that's equivalent to a 2-pound weight gain. So you can see how on a Friday night, going out for a few beers after work, getting a bit hammered, getting the pizza and the cheesy chips on the way home, and then having a hangover the next day, how it really can be so detrimental to long-term weight loss, because you're on the back foot from the start, aren't you?
Well, it's not just that night, though, is it? For me, it was the day after.
Yeah.
So then your blood sugar levels are low, so you want to go and eat whatever at Lucozade. I remember there was one lady who was in front of me when I was weighing in a group, and I said to her, what's been your secret? And she said, I used to have always have a bottle of Lucozade after I'd had a few drinks, and she said there were 30 teaspoons of sugar in a bottle of Lucozade.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. So you don't realize, because your body is craving whatever it needs to get rid of it's poison, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Alcohol. It's trying to get it out of your system. So then you've sabotaged your food diary, not on one day, but 2 days. That's what I was getting sick of seeing.
And you have to work so hard if you're then going to see a weight loss on the back of it. And that's when it becomes a diet, doesn't it? Because you go, I've smashed it on the weekend, and now what am I going to eat? Grilled chicken and kale for the rest of the week, which was never what food optimizing was about. I also find that with the alcohol, it kind of affects where you are in your mindset for weight loss. Like, so when you're still trying to factor in a lot of alcohol into your weight loss journey, it's saying, am I ready to make the lifestyle changes that I'm going to need to make to keep my weight off?
Yeah, that's really interesting. As I've gone through this double, laned journey of moving away from drinking and also doing Slimming World, the reasons that I was doing, you know, stuffing myself with food and also maybe drinking a bottle of Prosecco most nights were actually of a similar reason. Mm. They were to fill a deep amount of sadness or loneliness within me. They were to avoid kind of dealing with difficult feelings. They were to treat myself, that treat mentality. They were, oh, it's celebrate, let's go have some cake. And actually, these things go hand in hand. So it's a fascinating thing when you step away from both.
And I think it's a really fascinating thing to watch how other people around you perceive you and are affected by it. So I've got a lot of people who say, oh, but you can't be fun. You can't have a laugh. Do you not want to have a laugh? No, I can have a great time without being smashed. You know, or I can have a great time without eating cake. But I think the two do come in hand, don't they? And I think it's really recognising that. However, we're not here to say you can't not drink and lose weight. Like, there are a lot of successful slimmers. I feel like sometimes, and we're always honest about this in my group, like some of my groups are the hardest core drinkers and still managing to lose weight. You will sit there, and I've learned things about booze in my groups that I never knew were quite possible. And people who are very successful, but they've had to recognise is the alcohol that they've had to kind of change and swap around with. So you were talking about Prosecco, and I think noticing that things like wine, the cider as well, they're not your friend when it comes to
these. Those three were my, they were just the top.
Yeah.
Gin was the other one, but I'd always have slimline tonic because I thought I was being good.
And I don't know about you, I could nail the Prosecco and not feel it so much, but five gins down, I didn't have the tolerance.
Who puts Prosecco in a flute? Ooh. You put it in a wine glass.
Or just straight out the bottle.
We've got massive wine glasses. We don't have... The small ones are at the back.
Yeah, exactly. They are like a pint pot, your wine glasses, aren't they? But I think it is recognising that if you do want to put some booze into this, that you can do it. But maybe we could give you some tips. Do you think
measuring.
We're the right people? Yeah, measuring.
It comes back to measuring. You know, when you're talking about your health, your H to A, your B, and your sins, your booze does not escape that. The problem is... And what I was doing when I was, you know, drinking and also doing weight loss in previous journeys was I was actually taking a hip flask out with me.
Love this.
Four shots of rum or four shots of gin, keep that in my bag.
Not neck it.
Then I'd just go buy tonic. But once that ran out, I knew that I'd had 12 sins.
I love that.
Because I think your resolve weakens, doesn't it? And then actually... You don't know whether you're getting a single or a double. You don't know if it's 25 mil or 35 mil.
Yeah.
So you're not really able to properly sin what it is you've had.
And when you're that blitzed, like, you just don't remember, do you? A couple of tips I've learned along the way, if you do want to factor in some booze, is things like counting apps a lot of people have. So every time they buy a drink, they hit one on this app and it counts them. So the next day you can look back and see how many you've done.
I did that. Yeah.
Did you find it helped or did you forget?
No, it does help, and visually it's quite good as well. I suppose it's very similar to when you're filling in a food diary or the weight loss planner for Slimming World. You're actually writing down what you're eating.
Yeah.
Same principality, you know, you're actually really looking at the reality of what you are putting in your mouth.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing that I also did, and I should stress, is I've done Dry January when I did my weight loss before.
Yes.
And I thought that by quitting the booze, I would have lost an enormous amount of weight, and I didn't.
What a good point to make, because I get this in Stoptober, Dry January, when people give it up. They think they're going to lose a stone in 2 minutes just because they've cut the booze out. And actually, it doesn't work like that, does it?
Well, this is where I think now I recognise, having had a longer spell of not drinking, that the ideas of the I would just switch to another coping mechanism. So maybe then, because you think that you're good by not drinking, then you can have a few extra sins to eat an extra chocolate bar, or maybe you didn't really weigh your milk or your cheese on that particular day, and these hidden sins start to creep in. But the alternatives that are out there are far better for not drinking than ever before.
Well, you taught me some things that I just never knew were out there. I spent 35 minutes in the booze aisle of Tesco's. I was baby free the other day. I didn't take her down the gin aisle, don't worry. And all the alcohol free situation that we've got that tastes very similar.
I've got to say, the big Tesco's are incredible. And now you start going to bars and you ask them, well, what alcohol-free beer have you got? And even better, in the app for Slimming World, they're starting to put more of those in.
So
and
helpful.
You can really start to tell. There's a couple of brands that will only be 1.5 sins for a can, whereas a couple of the bigger bottles will be about 6 sins for a can. Now, you obviously... I want to be not drinking because I want to be saving my sins, you know, for my chocolate.
Totally.
But
Mr. Freddo.
Also, in social situations, there are times where it's really quite scary when you're doing those big Christmas do's or networking, and you feel like you want to have some in your hand. And I'm a big believer that the alcohol-free alternatives have been a big success for me. Different people have different relationships with this.
But you've spotted beer, you've spotted gin.
There's fake gin. I mean, the makers of Guinness have done this thing called Seedlip. It's pretty pricey, but I used my club card vouchers to buy it.
Oh, always thinking.
Yeah. And you get these decent fake gin bottles. They look great. You get yourself some crushed ice. You get your lime. You get your, if you want to spend a sin, then get a Fever Tree lighter tonic.
And does it taste like
gin? It tastes like a gin and tonic, yeah.
Wow.
And so that, for me, this treat thing, which I think we're going to come around to and around to and around to, at the end of a long day, it was still a nice drink, because it's bloody boring if you're quitting booze right now and you are looking at a month of drinking Diet Coke and sparkling water. Don't do it to yourself. Go approach the same thing that I did, where you just take it as another place that you go and learn.
Yes.
You know, I've been an absolute nerd where I've gone and learned everything about healthy extra B's. I've learned about healthy extra A's.
We're going to get onto that later. We call Claire the queen of fiber. Yeah. That's how much she knows about fiber and weight loss. It's a whole different episode, that. So what are you
talking about bowels?
Yeah. What are your top drinks then? Is it like, we've got a kind of alcohol-free beer?
Be confident when you're going out to bars. And if you are just wanting to drink your Diet Cokes and sparkling water and that gets you through, that's fine. Maybe even a hot drink. It's cold. You know what I mean?
I like that.
Mix it up a little bit. But be confident and go to bars and ask them, what have you got alcohol-free? In fact, Jill, who's one of our members in one of our groups, she calls a head.
Yeah.
And I think that's for food. But why can't you do that in a booze situation?
I like this thing.
And actually, for the bars that are not having these alcohol-free options, they are behind the times. And we need to be demanding better options, because even if you are listening to this and you are still drinking and you're thinking, is booze one of those things I could cut down? You should be able to have an option that maybe you go out and you know you've got 10 sins. Now, what's that going to be? 3 vodka tonics. Mm. But then for the fourth drink or fifth drink, you have an alcohol-free alternative.
Yeah.
And you can actually, there are websites out there. I mean, the group which I found really fantastic and changed my whole relationship with alcohol is called 1 Year No Beer.
Love
and
this.
They do a variety of challenges, but what it also does is just kind of mix it up, that hey, there's a different way here. You don't have to go out and get smashed. And here are the kind of myths around alcohol that were kind of ingrained in deeply within our culture, that when you're sad, when you've had a breakup, when you're in love, when you're celebrating, all these things that we're told a drink is the solution. And when you start to question that, and initially you feel like an outsider, it's nice to know that actually this is becoming a bit of a new norm. And I think the alcohol-free thing, like we're seeing vegan over the last couple of years, the alcohol-free thing may become a newer movement where it's more normal that you go out and you don't drink.
Well, if I go out with Phil and he, you know, loves a beer or a JD and I don't drink, and he's always like, oh babe, I feel like you're missing out. Well, I will sin a mocktail, or I'll, you know, and make an event out of it. But you could be talking like 15 sins for that. But if we could have like a, you know, a gin and tonic that didn't have any booze in it, what kind of sins are we talking for? Is it still kind of similar?
Yeah, kinda. I mean, I think the most sinnable beer that I've had was 6.5 sins for a 500ml bottle.
Oh, okay, so quite a bit.
So, you know, vastly different to say your bottle of Lucozade or bottle of Coca-Cola, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly, big change.
The fake gins, obviously, if you've got your Slimline tonic, well, that's nothing. Are they free?
Oh my gosh. And now what you can't see from here...
It's just
here,
like having squash.
Yeah, well, there's a Tesco. I could jump the balcony and get
to
the Tesco.
Well, my drinks cabinet is over there, and currently there is sparkling wine, which is alcohol-free. There's two different types of fake gin, and I've got about 3 different beers and some fake Prosecco in the fridge. So my drinks cabinet has become better than my housemates.
Now you can't see it, but it is vast. It really is quite substantial. Another thing we should mention is gin in a tin and quantifiable drinks in tins if you are trying to manage the sins. Don't know if you're ever a fan of it.
Yeah, but there's some on the top shelf. They're my housemates. I got her into them.
You see, gin in a tin for me and a lot of my members has been something that you can quantify. So for anybody that doesn't know, it's a pre-mixed gin and tonic or a pre-mixed vodka Diet Coke, or there's lots of different things, but you know the sins when you've bought it. You can also get alcohol-free versions of those, can't you? And it's for
I've got that in my
she's being sponsored, I think, aren't
you? You just go and learn about these things, don't
exactly
you?
But it's having those things in so that you can take part and not feel like you're missing out, because I think for a lot of people what puts them off making changes is that missing out, isn't it? And actually you don't have to miss out on anything. If anything, you're not missing out on the hangover, which is a blessing, and the weight gain.
You know, I said before that this time last year, my aim was that I needed to find a way to have more time and energy and better health. And one of the ways that eating better, doing this plan, losing 4 stone, and also quitting the booze, I socialize more than I did when I was going, you know, out drinking. Yeah. I have more energy. I am more fun than most of my friends. I last longer than most of my friends.
So true, isn't it?
I'm more selective about where I go. And a big thing, if you are listening to this episode and thinking or doing the alcohol-free month or however long you're thinking, just make sure you plan ahead for some of these things. And really think when you're saying yes to stuff, often we go and meet up with people and it's all about just going out to drink. The big win for me was going out to do things. So go to a gig, go to go to a music festival, or go and do something. Don't just go to drink. And when those options come up, they might be where you know temptation is rife. It's a bit like buffets, isn't it? When someone invites you to a buffet, is that really going to help you right now in your journey?
No.
Is it just going to be full of temptation and you're going to walk away feeling deprived? Mm. Just say no.
Yeah.
Say no to those things and find the better things.
I think that's something that's really liberated you in this journey. You're not frightened now of saying, well, actually, this is more important and therefore I'm choosing not to do that. I'm choosing my weight loss and my health over this.
Yeah. Well, I think you don't realise the wins until you step away for a long time. So the people who do the dry Januarys, as I'd done before, the 30 days is fine, but it won't be a habit changer. Yeah. What's your thing about habits? 60 something?
It comes in threes. So you need to do it 3 minutes, 3 hours, 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months, and then they're solidified within your mind. So if you can step away from a craving for 3 minutes, you're likely to break it. You know, I used to smoke. I don't know if you smoke or ever smoked. Mm. If I could say no to a cig for 3 minutes, the craving dropped. It's the same with chocolate or anything like that. But it needs to come in three chunks of three, because somehow the brain engages that's going to happen. So if you could do like 3 minutes booze free on a Saturday night, then transcend it to 3 hours, 3 months. I mean, for you, how many days is it now?
Oh, I mean, I'm in triple figures now. See, the thing with the alcohol stuff, so I must have quit for like about 80 days straight. And then a couple of things came up that were a bit emotional, and I had 2 glasses. Then I went back on it for another 60 days. Then I went on holiday, and again, the treat mentality, it was my signifier that when I was off the clock, then I would, you know, pour that glass of wine, the glug, glug, glug sound. Yeah. These things that we become accustomed to, that without even realizing have such a hold over us. The airport, going to the airport for a flight, it was normal to have a drink whatever time of the day it was.
Yeah.
You know, you'd never be going to Wetherspoons at 9:30 in the morning. If you do that, that's fine.
She might not be, not I was.
But, you know, to have a drink at 9:30 in the morning, you know, is a little bit out there, isn't it? But in an airport, any rule goes. If anyone on holiday,
it's 5 o'clock summer,
it's an all-inclusive bar, any rules go. So that was difficult. And then October, I did my first holiday, actually, without any alcohol. And that was very tough,
was
actually.
It? Did you really struggle with that kind of how you couldn't relax in the same way, or you had to change your habits?
Yeah, I mean, I think the messages that you get from other people, exactly as you said, is, oh, just have one cake, it won't hurt, or go on, just have one piece of chocolate, just have one drink, you're on holiday, treat yourself, relax.
You deserve it.
Mm. All these messages we get. But this is where I think being in that racehorse mentality, knowing that that is only a short-term fix and it will not get you closer to your longer-term goals, is essential. And you will feel so much better if you say no.
Well, the outcome afterwards, isn't it, is the payoff. It's going, I did that and I didn't have the drink. Did that and I didn't eat the chocolate. I had it when I was pregnant. Like, actually, it wasn't a choice. I just couldn't drink. I was pregnant. It wasn't going to happen. So I had a can of cider.
Really classy bird, yeah.
Can of cider when she was 3 weeks old. I've never found something so disgusting in all my life. But if someone had told me that, you know, I would have never have associated the cider with being something quite repugnant. But I think because I'd had a break, because my mind was different, it wasn't something I needed. So
the alcohol doesn't actually taste nice.
No, it really doesn't.
When you think back to your first drink, you probably went, ooh, that's horrible. Or you needed it to be like some Alco Pop, which is full of sugar. You were probably sick.
No, I was just going to say, all I remember is projectile vomiting.
But all we've done over years and years and years is kid ourselves to fit in and be part of society, that we can get used to this taste. and we build up tolerance. Yeah. And there are various, I mean, when you get out there and you go out and read some of the books that are written about the myths around alcohol that we don't even realise, it's kind of quite mind-blowing, actually. And how, if you right now, someone said, right, I'm going to give you £1 million, Anna, if you never have a drink ever again.
Take that money.
You would. Now, a lot of people probably would think, oh, I'm not sure if I can live without alcohol for the rest of my life.
Well, I would have thought that when I was a drinker. How can I?
I think most people would. Yeah. And actually, right now, I would struggle.
Would you?
I think that's a big thing to say. You're never going to have any alcohol for the rest of your life. But the crux of what some people talk about is, if you can't imagine being without something, then perhaps this is where things like addiction starts.
Totally.
And the, you know, that could not necessarily be the guy who's down the park who's just swigging the special brew or whatever, who hasn't got a roof over his head. It could also be some of the middle class drinkers who think having a £10 glass of wine of an evening is the way to treat themselves. It kind of comes at any age, any class.
It doesn't discriminate, does it? I remember...
Makes you think.
Yeah, Daisy was a day old and the midwife came to... she was in intensive care, but she came to have a chat with me and she said, just need to talk to you about your alcohol consumption. I said, well, I don't plan to drink. And she said, well, I just need to check. She said, because we find women like you, well-educated, middle-class women, are the ones that are drinking a glass of wine at 7 o'clock in the morning while the baby's crying. So I just need to make sure that you don't need any support. So
wow,
it just goes to show, doesn't it? So from us, we're teetotal, but choosing to be, which is quite a liberating thing, isn't it?
Yeah, we're fiercely unique, I suppose. Yeah. But as I say, I think that the game is starting to be up and more people are starting to think, I'm not sure this booze thing is working out for me.
No.
And just go learn, just go read, just go try.
Yeah,
just...
I'm going to try your cabinet in a minute. I think that's the way forward. 5 o'clock somewhere.
Well, it's been another episode of Slimming World, Food for Thought. And our aim is that we help you be the person that you've always dreamed of being.